Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
Life is a gift from God, and what you do with it or how you steward it is your gift to Him. Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to begin a series entitled Stewarding Life. Stay with us as we answer some big questions about balance. Ever have trouble balancing all the competing demands of your life, from family to friends to church to career to finances to the evening news and the weather reports and all the things that are crying out for your attention and navigation? Balancing life is a challenge, and that's why we're going to study today on Daily in the Word, Stewarding Life. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and the preaching of Pastor Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Dr. Chappell has written a companion book to this series entitled Stewarding Life. You can find out more about this series and the book when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today we're going to examine how to steward the truth, Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 22. Here's Paul Chappell.
Oh, my friend, the truth is rejected, and I'm telling you today, whether it's Lady Gaga or whether it's someone else that wants to just flaunt their unbelief in Jesus and make fun of Christianity while they live their vile, wicked life, it is time today for someone in this room to wake up and turn back to Jesus Christ. God loves you, and Jesus died for you, and living that vile, dark life is not the way you want to go. And that's why I close the message today with some real good news for you. Because you see, the truth was revealed, and then the truth was rejected, but there were some who received the truth. There was a Roman soldier, the centurion, who said, "Truly, this must be the Son of God." There have been millions since who have said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Notice the truth received. And we're going to close with this verse 16 that was at the very top of your notes on the first page. And I want you to see what it says. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now, would you read that with me, please? If you have it there, ready, begin. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Now, when we speak about the truth, someone says, well, like Pilate in the Bible, what is truth? When we speak about the truth at Lancaster Baptist, what are we talking about? And I want to give you the description of the truth very quickly. This is Open House Sunday. We're opening the doors of this church. You want to walk through the classrooms. You want to come through the offices. You want to see the educational buildings. Have at it. But more than that, we want to open up the truth of God's Word today. The house is open for the truth. And let me tell you, at the core of Lancaster Baptist, what are those people all about? They go up and down the streets telling people about Jesus. They kept asking me to come. They're on television. They're just pesky as they possibly can be, those Baptists over there. What is it all about? I'm going to tell you what it's all about in a nutshell. It's all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." My friend, why you say, Pastor Jeff, why are you kind of excited? You're kind of lifting your voice. Why does this seem to mean so much to you? Because I want to tell you, you don't want to turn your back on the only one who ever conquered death and the grave. You see, the gospel is simply this. Jesus, God's Son, the one that was born of the Virgin Mary, the one who lived that perfectly sinless life, the one who was not just some guy, the one who was God's revelation to us. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, and the Roman soldiers didn't put him on that cross. He died there voluntarily, my friend, for you and for me. And when that blood came out of his hands, when those soldiers put the nails through his hands and through his feet, and when they thrust that spear through his side, I want you to know the blood that came flowing down was not from the Adamic sin line. It wasn't just some human father that fathered Jesus Christ. My friend, it was the blood of God Almighty that was being spilled for your sin, and nothing and nobody can wash your sin away except Jesus Christ. You can join every Baptist church in this town. You can get baptized in our baptistry until your fingers wither, but that will not wash your sins away. The gospel. You say, well, I'm just studying a lot of religions. Okay. Go ahead and study Buddha. Go ahead and study Mohammed. Study a half a dozen others, and you'll find one common denominator. Every religion has a founder and a grave and bones in the grave. But my friend, the reason we're excited today is because we serve a risen Savior, and his name is Jesus, my friend. And that's the gospel message. He went down into that grave, but 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose, my friend. He's alive, and he's seated at the right hand of God the Heavenly Father. Why would you turn your back on him except for pride and sin and lust? Why don't you turn today and say, Jesus Christ, I know I am a sinner, and I believe you died for my sin, and I come to you by faith today. And that's what Paul did. And so Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the truth? It's the gospel. What is the truth, Pastor Chapel? The death, the burial, the resurrection. Say, well, I don't agree with you on everything, Pastor Chapel. You don't have to, because I'm not right on everything. But there's one thing I want to beg you to consider today. Who was Jesus, and what did he do for you? The death, the burial, and the resurrection. But then I want you to notice not only the description of the truth, but I want you to see the deliverance of the truth. Look at that verse again, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. That's the description, gospel of Christ. For it is the power. Here comes the deliverance. I'm talking more powerful than AA now. I'm talking more powerful than psychotherapy. I'm talking more powerful than nuclear power. You see, the gospel that I'm preaching, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And I don't care where you've been, what you've done, if you've had a divorce, if you've had an abortion, if you've had a drug problem, if you've had abuse, it doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter what you've done, the power of the gospel can forgive your past. That's the power of God, you see. No church can do that. Look at that word, salvation. It is the power of God unto salvation. Now, I know sometimes we preachers, we don't get it down on the bottom shelf like we should. I heard a pastor that was out on a corner one day up in the mountains with an assistant pastor, and they had a sign, and the sign said, the end is near. And everybody that drove by, the end is near. They kept shouting, turn around before it's too late. People were just cussing at them, get out of here, you religious nuts, and leave us alone and all this. Finally, the assistant pastor said, you know, pastor, do you think it would just be better if we made a sign that just said, bridge out? You know, maybe sometimes we get a little overly dramatic or we're not really clear in the message. But I want to tell you, the Bible is crystal clear when it says it is the power of God unto salvation. Everybody needs salvation. Say, well, I don't need it. If you're perfect, you don't need it. But if you're a sinner, you need salvation. God said, look at the world, if the world's greatest problem was finances, God would have sent an economist. If the world's greatest problem was psychological, God would have sent a psychotherapist. You know, if the world's greatest problem was political, he would have sent a politician. But the world's greatest problem was sin, and so God sent a Savior, his Son, you see. That's who Jesus is. He's the Savior. And God sent the Savior because all have sinned. Now, some of you don't look convinced yet. I'll just ask your wife after church. Oh, yes, he's a sinner. Yes, he is. Some of you can just nod with me a little bit, you know. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My friend, I'm going to tell you something about God's perfection. I can't measure up. We're not here today to say, well, we're a perfect people or a perfect church. No. We're not a perfect people at all. We're sinners who have put our trust in Jesus and his blood has forgiven us. It's the power of God unto salvation, and we need salvation because we're all sinners. Say, well, I'll have you know I was sprinkled at St. Mark's, or I have you know I was baptized at Missionary Baptist. I'll have you. No. Look at friend, we're not talking about religious tags. What we're talking about today is, have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ and asked him to apply his shed blood to your account? Because since we're not perfect, God says, my son was perfect, and when you believe in him, I can declare you righteous, because God's not pleased in my attainment, but he is pleased with what his son did on the cross of Calvary, because we all fall short, Romans 3:23. Well, I heard about a lady that wrote to Dear Abby. She said, Dear Abby, I'm a 44-year-old, and I'd like to meet a man my age with no bad habits. Abby wrote back, Dear Rose, so would I. Good luck. I'm sure I've met 30 to 50,000 people in this Antelope Valley and many other people around this country and across this world. I'm going to tell you something. I have not yet met the perfect man or woman. And you're not looking at one this morning. But there was one. And his name is Jesus. And when he hung on that cross, his blood covers the sins of the entire world. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen very carefully. What I deserve because I'm a sinner is death and separation from God in a place called hell. That's what I deserve. I don't deserve heaven. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Hey, isn't that a great word, gift? Let me tell you about a gift. Let me tell you about Christmas gifts. Someone else buys them. Someone else stands in line. Someone else pays for them. Someone else wraps them. All you have to do is take it. If I go to my wife on Christmas morning, and this will be our 31st Christmas together, and I said, honey, got a little present here for you, and I just want you to know I paid a lot of money for it, got it wrapped up for you, and if you'll promise now, every other night to scratch my back and every other night to rub my back, till next Christmas, I'm going to let you have this. She would let me have this. Because that's not a gift. If you have to earn it, it's not a gift. So many churches say, well, you want to go to heaven? Give us money, knock doors, get baptized, join the church, get baptized for your dead relatives even. My friend, the list goes on and on, because religion says do, but Jesus says done. It's a free gift. Just come and take it. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath to come, my friend. Are you saved today? You say, well, I don't like all these religious words. It's not a religious word. It's a Bible word. And you can be saved through Jesus Christ. Now, Steve Jobs, at a college commencement a few years ago, said something I feel significant to the moment. He said, no one wants to die. Even people who want to go to heaven don't want to die to get there. And yet death is the destination we all share. No one has ever escaped it. And I would say to that comment that you may not escape the first death, but you can escape the second death. You can know, based upon the scriptures, that you have a home in heaven. In fact, Jesus said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And as I have stood dozens and dozens of times and presided over funeral services, I want to tell you, it's a joy when someone knew the Lord and you can say, based upon their testimony for Christ, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I want to tell you, my friend, it is important today that we not reject the revelation of Christ in order that we might know that we have a home in heaven. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again for you. And Thomas said, but Lord, how can we know the way to where you're going? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Someone says, well, I'm going to try a couple other paths, and they're all the routes lead to the same place, and I've had a comparative religion class at Cal State Northridge, or AVC, and so I know all roads lead to the same place. That's not what Jesus said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me. Well, Ron Wayne, if he would have kept his 10%, $800 investment in Apple, he would today be the 15th most wealthy person in the world. He would be without a care in the world economically. But instead, he lives today in Pahrumpf, Nevada, waiting from month to month for a government check. A few months ago, he bought his first computer. It was a Dell. And he may or may not ever admit it, but I'm sure he regrets that he didn't steward that opportunity. Listen, please, listen carefully. If you take today's revelation of Scripture and truth and the gospel and decide not to receive Christ as your Savior and rather reject it knowingly and willingly, the loss will be so far beyond what this particular businessman, Ron Wayne, did. You can hardly describe it or think of it. Because what we're talking about today is eternity. It's one thing to reject some stock options. It's another thing to reject Jesus Christ. And so I ask you this morning, if you now understand more clearly that God's been reaching out in the garden and with Noah and with his son and with his scriptures and with nature, and even as he speaks to your heart right now, what are you going to do with the truth today? Are you going to hear it and say, when's this over? I want some chicken. What are you going to do with the truth of Jesus Christ? I wonder today if perhaps you would just simply say, what I need to do is I need to turn to Jesus Christ and not reject him. You see, my friend, the Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life to all who believe. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. May I ask you this morning, do you know that you have eternal life? Do you know that his blood has covered your sin? What is it today that you need to do with this truth? It's been revealed. Some say, yeah, good for them, and go on and worship other things and get involved in other sin. But thank God that there have been those who have said, you know, I am a sinner. He's telling the truth. I fall short of God's glory. And I'm not trusting in a church, and I'm not asking you to trust in a church. And I'm not trusting in myself. But if Jesus Christ died for my sin, then I want to ask him to forgive me, to be my Savior. I want to know that I have a home in heaven. Now, the Bible says that if we'll confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God hath raised Jesus from the dead, we can be saved. Saved from our sin. Many people in this room have already been saved. But I believe there's some right now sitting here, husband and wife, single parent, teenagers, college students. And in your heart, you would say, you know what? I need to make sure that Christ is my Savior. I need to make sure that I'm saved. And that's nothing to be embarrassed about. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. And Paul was sure glad, and so am I glad, that on April the 5th, 1972, as a young boy in sin, I asked Jesus to save me. And I asked him to come into my life. And on that day, he looked down in San Jose, California, and saw me, heard my prayer, forgave my sin, and came into my life. I haven't been perfect since that day, but I'll tell you one thing. My destination has been settled since that day. My destination is heaven, not because I deserved it, but because God so graciously gave it. If you're here right now in this room, and you'd say, Pastor Chapel, I'm not sure that my destination is heaven, but I don't want to pull a Ron Wayne spiritually. I just don't want to blow it. I don't want to turn away from such revelation and from such love. Then I want to invite you today to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I want to help you with that today. If you say, I want Christ as my Savior, I've heard what you said, the truth has been revealed, Jesus is the truth. Some reject it, but I want Christ as my Savior. I'm not talking to you about joining the church, getting baptized, or doing a bunch of stuff. We're not talking about earning it. We're talking about receiving it because it's a gift. And if you want the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, in a moment I'm going to ask everybody to stand. We're going to pray. But right now, if you want Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know you're a sinner, you know you fall short. You say, I know that Jesus Christ shed his blood. I now understand. And I want an eternal home in heaven. Here's what I'd like to encourage you to do. I'd like to help you pray to receive Christ as your Savior this morning. And for those who want to do that, I just want to encourage you right now this morning, without any hesitation, just stand where you are right now. You say, I want Christ as my Savior. Just stand right now. I'm going to help you pray in just a minute. Don't be embarrassed at all. I want Christ as my Savior. That's what I want. I see now I can't keep rejecting him. I can't keep running to my sin, myself, my so-called other religions. I want Christ as my Savior. I want to settle that. I want a spiritual birthday. I want to look back on October 9th, 2011 and say, that's the day that I asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me. Who else needs to stand? Don't be embarrassed. Others perhaps today. I know that I need Christ as my Savior. I don't want to spend eternity without God. He's revealed himself to me. I'm not going to turn away from him this time. Who else this morning with these? Are there others? Now, I'm going to ask right now that all of you would just simply have your heads bowed and your eyes closed for a word of prayer. And those of you that are standing, I want to help you right now to say a prayer. What we're going to do right now, we're not trusting in a prayer. We're trusting in Jesus. And it's not what I'm saying, but it's the scriptures that have spoken. And so I want to encourage you that are standing right now in your spot where you're standing to say to God something like this. Dear Lord, I confess to you that I am a sinner. I know that I fall short of your perfection. But today, I believe that you died on the cross. You shed your blood for my sin. And you rose up again for me. And so right here, right now, I ask you to come into my life. Forgive my sin and save my soul. I'm not trusting in myself or in any man, but Jesus, I ask you today to forgive my sin and to be my Savior.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chapel on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We've been studying a series entitled Stewarding Life, and Dr. Chapel has written a companion book to this series by the same title, Stewarding Life. You'll enjoy this incredibly encouraging book. It's a wonderful resource as a follow-up study tool for today's series. You'll find out more about Stewarding Life. It's a beautiful hardback book when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org, and you can click on the link to the resources. You can also find links to recent programs, to the Daily in the Word podcast, to other resources that will help you in your spiritual growth. I hope you'll refer a friend to dailyintheword.org, and I sure hope you'll take a look at Pastor Chapel's book, Stewarding Life. We would love to hear from you as a listener and know that Daily in the Word is touching your life. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find links to Pastor Chapel's newest resources, his blog posts, recent podcasts, and many other resources that will encourage you in your spiritual growth. We are quickly approaching the annual Spiritual Leadership Conference, June 8th through the 11th at Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. Dr. Chapel and the staff at Lancaster Baptist and West Coast Baptist College invite you and those you serve with to several days of wonderful preaching, inspiring music, and a theme of renewal that will renew your heart and your love for the Lord and His work. Again, the Spiritual Leadership Conference, June 8th through the 11th. You can find out more about it when you visit online at dailyintheword.org. And don't forget, you're invited to the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through 16th, 2014. Join Pastor Chapel and guests and friends from all over the country for a week of tremendous Bible teaching and preaching, Christian fellowship, wonderful music, and the beauty and grandeur of Alaska's Inside Passage. You can find out more information about the cruise or reserve your place when you visit again, dailyintheword.org. Don't forget, that's the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th, 2014. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.